What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
This is Ja'Cory Kroski-Mayer, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, ADPs are changing out there. These best ball ADPs are changing. We got to keep up with it because even though we only have a couple of weeks left before we transition mainly into just really getting ahead of the curve for redraft season and, you know, season-long leagues and stuff like that, it's always so important to keep track of these best ball ADPs as people are just piling in these drafts at volume, and especially how they're changing with now reports out of these rookie mini camps, how some of these players are doing, how they might be getting utilized. And also, you know, it's the time of season where we're just hearing a lot from them. This is the time of season where the media doesn't have much to report on as far as what's actually going on with the team, and so we're hearing a lot of analysis from some of these people who I feel like are just the smart people to follow in these different media markets, just about sort of what they think, how things are shaping up for how the season is going to go. So seeing how the market reacts to all those things is very important as well. So with that being said, there have been risers in ADP, there have been fallers. How do you want to get it started?
I think we get started with some of these risers and fallers. Like you said, we kind of looked at some data the last 24 or 48 hours of some of the biggest movers over the course of the last 2 weeks. So since the 29th of April, and I'm just now realizing that I didn't charge my mouse from last night that died. that's awesome. And some of the biggest movers had dropped or gained upwards of 20 to 40 spots in their ADPs over the course of the last 2 weeks. And that is, of course, kind of what you'd call snap reactions or instant reactions to the NFL draft, because the draft was just over two and a half weeks ago, a couple of days before the 29th of April. And the biggest risers over the course of the last 2 weeks were Jaden Blue, the Dallas running back that's a rookie, and Roschon Johnson from Chicago. Both guys rose 38 and 41 spots. Roschon 38, Jaden Blue 41. And then the biggest drop was Jerome Ford, the running back from Cleveland, alongside a rookie running back that's also in Cleveland. So that's an interesting one, is Dylan Sampson. I guess the way I kind of wanted to attack this, Alex, was talking through a couple of these players that jumped up a bunch and a couple of these guys that dropped a bunch, and if we agreed with it, disagreed with it, and kind of what the reaction was to it. So, like, for example, Jaden Blue, he jumped up 40 spots, and we've been proponents of Jaden Blue. We've been stands for Jaden Blue. We talked about it yesterday on the show. He jumped from 173rd overall just 2 weeks ago up to 131st. So that's just right there in round 11. He's running back 41 right now, if you are keeping track at home or if you're drafting at home. And I guess my thought, my instant question was, how far are we going to stay in the boat with Jaden Blue for? Because I think in seasonal, when the seasonal thing turns around, he's going to end up being a guy that I think probably rises into like the eighth round by the time everything's done. The dust is settled.
Yeah, I mean,
end of August, I'm saying, at least the eighth round. Unless, I mean, this could be, we could talk about this further down the line, but he could really jump even further up if we hear more and more positive things through training camp. So he's sitting here right now at 131, up 42 spots since April 29th. What are your thoughts on Jaden Blue in the Dallas situation?
What did you say his ADP is right now?
131.
Cody, you can go on the best ball cheat sheet right now and you can check me on this and just highlight the cells
and tell me how many cells you get highlighted by the time you get down to Jaden Blue, and it's 131. So that's where we've had him right there. Us having him at 131 on the best ball cheat sheet actually puts him – or tied for 131. So he's on the same row as he's right around the same time as a couple of rookie wide receivers like Jaden Higgins, Trey Harris, and Hollywood Brown, around the same time as Trevor Lawrence, Michael Penix, Matthew Stafford, and around the same time as like the Colston Loveland, Kyle Pitts, Tucker Kraft area of these drafts. And we had him artificially pushed up. And my question really was if your question was how high up can you get him? And I think from running back 38, I could get him up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots from there. And then we could start having a conversation about, because here's the thing, dude, the guys who were in front of him, like Brian Robinson, I think we'll talk about Brian Robinson at some point because he was he's a big ADP riser, but I don't have faith in Brian Robinson. I don't have faith in Ramondre Stevenson. I don't have faith in Travis Etienne. Those are players who on the cheat sheet, I had to, I had to keep Blue ahead of those guys, I had to keep Blue behind those guys because he was so, so far behind them pre-NFL draft. And honestly, it feels like this whole Jaden Blue surge has come more in the last week than over the course of the last two. It felt like it took – because we were at the draft house in Florida with all the player profiler guys, and we were just like – we were talking about this is Yahtzee for Jaden Blue. If he can just keep from fumbling, this is, going to Dallas. This is, we don't even need to relitigate it. It's just like, we're talking about two of the worst running backs in the league last year that you could ever watch play, man. Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. That's a really, really, really bad running back room. Jaden Blue brings all the juice in the world. And the only reason why he got into a little bit of the doghouse last year is because Coach Sark at Texas just thought that he
put the ball on the ground a couple times.
He thought that he was fumbling too much, but even to that, it was only two fumbles. I think he put the ball on the ground three times, but only lost two of them. And I remember thinking to myself, man, they're being a little hard on this guy for how good he is and for everything he can do for this team. And by the end of the season, whenever they really needed him, They just went back to Blue. They're just like, we're in the run for a championship here. We got to get the ball in his hands. So, clearly he had a really good offensive line at Texas. It feels like that Cowboys offensive line is not what it used to be, but they're nothing to shake a stick at anymore, right? They've added a new first round option this year, so it isn't like he's going from having basically probably the best offensive line in college football, even though Army won the Joe Moore Award. That was mainly due to recency bias from that last football game versus Georgia. And I know that you're not supposed to take into account the SEC championship game for these regular season awards, but I've heard pretty reliably that they did. So anyway, I think that he fits in there. He fits in there well. He brings so much more juice than all the rest of them. I'm comfortable taking him. I'm not going to do it yet because, where is his ADP compared to now Brian Robinson and stuff or Travis Etienne?
Well, I'll just say this. Yeah, the Brian Robinson ADP right now has jumped up 22 spots over the course of the last 2 weeks. And so Robinson was at 110. He's now at 88, and he's running back 29 overall. And
So basically I'm fine taking – here's I can easily move him up. We already have him over Bashel Tutin. I can easily move him up over Ramondre Stevenson, Travis Etienne, Zach Charbonnet. We already have him over Charbonnet. We already have him over Javonte Williams. I'm not moving him up over Jordan Mason, who we have bumped.
I think that's the ceiling. I don't think I think it's Tracy's like where I'm sitting here looking at it. I can get him ahead of Tracy, and I can be like fully get it 100%. Like that's my so like through spring. Before training camp, like that's kind of where I'm not ready to put him in the Swift, Harris, Pollard, Hampton situation.
No, I'm not either. But
Mason, I think gets 200 touches. So
you and I both love Mason and we want to stay ahead on him. And I even love him more after looking at some of the breakaway run percentage and stuff like that I was looking at today, just trying to figure out a little bit more about Brian Robinson. Jordan Mason shows up really well in a lot of the important efficiency analytics. He's going to be good in that Minnesota offense.
And they're going to have a top 5-6 offensive line, I bet you, when we get done with our grades in a couple of months.
I mean, they've added guys that we love, so probably in our grades. Yeah, I'm sure, but always
that's
fun.
That's what matters, right? Yeah. That's what matters. It's like there's only a couple people that great offensive line. I think they're going to be excellent, and they haven't added anything to it. So I think that Mason is definitely the what'd you call it, the bottleneck to Jaden Blue bursting through the top 100.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I would keep Mason maybe ahead. Mason's going to stay ahead of Jaden Blue unless we get this thing where it's the way we get into OTAs and, you know, with the mandatory OTAs and the whole team's out there and they get into 11-11 work and Jaden Blue is taking all the starter reps or something like then we're cooked. And it's like next thing.
Yahtzee.
Yeah. We're cooked for redraft, but we're good for best ball. Right. Because we already have a ton of Jaden Blue as well as over in the fast draft origins stuff. So, yeah, that's where I am on Jaden Blue. I'm not ready to bail on him yet. I think there's still room and I think he will continue to move up.
So the opposite side of that, well, just last thing from Dallas here, is that Javonte Williams, his counterpart, is also up 19 spots. He didn't make our list because he's at 19. I only did guys that move 20 or more, but he did move up 19 spots. He's up to 119. So he's technically still ahead of Jaden.
Okay. Well, see, that's bad.
Yes.
And that's running back what?
That is running back 38. Just three. That's three spots technically ahead of Jaden Blue.
We have him at running back 46. And to be completely honest, man, I don't think that you could, it might still be too high. You have to have your second, maybe your third quarterback in best ball before you take Javonte.
There's just like, look at the guys behind him. And like you said, it might be a little bit too high. Look at the upside you would have for guys that are listed behind Javonte. Like if let's say, I know technically he's probably starter / co-starter, but if Connor goes down, Trey Benson, if Pacheco goes down, or if Breshad Smith just gets the opportunity, Breshad Smith, Jerome Ford, Isaac Garendo, like he might already just have a big role there with McCaffrey's longevity.
I'll make an update to the best ball cheat sheet after this. Technically what I should be doing structurally is getting Javonte Williams maybe up a spot or two from where he is. Just to say somewhat in line with the age, you know, somewhat in line with the ADP and not break the sheet. But here's the thing. I don't want anybody to have Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
So I don't care. Like I'll move him down, even though he's technically moving up. I think that's a move in the absolute opposite direction of what I would expect.
Okay. Another running back situation here. This team has two running backs that have moved up 20-plus spots. One has crested into the top 100. He went from 106 to 82. That's DeAndre Swift. He's now running back 27. And then Roschon Johnson is up 38 spots, went from 209 to 171. So he went from being one of your last picks. He jumped up three rounds over the course of the last 2 weeks, did Roschon Johnson. The other back in this team, Kyle Manungai, has a lateral zero movement. 215 is still his ADP.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I make this update today, I'm gonna update Manungai and I'm gonna get him on here to where we can get him. If that's where he's going, I'm gonna add him on, and I want to start getting him over. You know, with these last picks or whatever, when people are taking their Ollie Gordons of the world or their Damian Martinez or these types of players, I made the move on the best ball cheat sheet yesterday to get him. On the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet to get Kyle Manungai, who was out of Rutgers, who we talked about yesterday on the show. If you want to go back and listen to it, I forgot what that show is, something about sleepers. It's just the Monday show, me, Trashman, and Cody. And Manungai was the last guy we discussed. So you can go back and listen to that for my exact reasoning and some of the stuff there. But
How about Swift? He's listed at 92.
Let me just finish about Manungai. So what I did on the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet was do you think this is right? I got him like above. I just want to take him around the time I'm taking Jordan James and Devin Neal and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I want to take him before I take Ollie Gordon in this type of player, just because of the opportunity that it presents. And probably Damian Martinez.
That's fine.
Okay. And so I'm going to do just something similar on the best ball cheat sheet. And as far as with Roschon, I've been worried about him. I'm more worried about Roschon than I am about DeAndre Swift. This is coming from, dude, I love Roschon Johnson. Love him as a guy. Love him as a player. I think he's really good. For some reason in the NFL, and maybe Ben Johnson will see it, but for some reason, he just hasn't been used the way that I thought he was going to be used. The Chicago media classifies him as their short yardage back.
Which is it's just a stay away.
Manunga brings a lot of juice, man. We talked about it yesterday, but it's like we're talking about a guy that averaged over his last two seasons has averaged 105.9 rushing yards per game. He's never fumbled. He's a really good player. Eric Bieniemy seems to love him. I don't know, man. My only hope for Roschon would be that maybe Ben Johnson can see what I've always seen in him and could use him in a more dynamic way. He's been used like an absolute just plotter.
Yep.
So,
but that's probably.
You and I have discussed Swift, though, and I mean, I think that Swift, it's like with him, you're just betting that he's not totally dusted.
Well, here's the question. So the place we have him right now in the cheat sheet is 92 overall. He was 106 2 weeks ago. Now he's 82.
Ugh.
So we went from ahead to now technically behind on Swift. So that becomes the question: is there an adjustment for Swift? Is it too far? Is it now that the ADP's jumped the shark and we've just if we've gotten Swift to this point, we've been technically ahead on Swift to this point. Do we just relax? Or is there an adjustment that's to be made against, the Najee Hampton backfield or Pollard? I sure as hell am not putting him up into that next
tier. You have to take DeAndre Swift over Najee right now, right?
Why?
I think that Omarion Hampton is a, I think that he's a significant, more than a significant. I mean, he got taken with a 22nd pick in the NFL draft. He's awesome. He's a Jonathan Taylor-like prospect.
Do you think Chicago adds any backs?
They haven't done – well, they haven't. The only thing that they've done to address – they waited until the seventh round of the NFL draft to even address any of this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've been doing a lot of snooping around this Manunga thing and just trying to figure it out if this presents value. And I haven't heard scuttlebutt from the Chicago media that they're looking to bring in backs.
No, just the Chubb thing like a week ago. But since then,
I guess there was the Chubb. Yeah, right. I guess there was the Chubb thing. It doesn't seem like anything came of that.
Yeah, it didn't. That's why. That's the reason I asked. So you're saying the move would be then to put Swift ahead of Harris.
Yeah, and then I think Najee Harris belongs down by his old teammate, Jaylen Warren.
I think I like Mason over Harris. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And look, dude, Jaylen Warren, like I don't even have their ADPs pulled up, but it's like Najee Harris, his ADP is 94.9, Warren's is 96.3.
Ooh.
But here's the thing, I don't want either. And so they're putting on a spot on the cheat sheet where you're probably not going to get them. Of course, that we're talking about the best ball cheat sheet for our pro members over at rosterwatch.com. And while we're giving plugs, man, if you guys could also please like the show, subscribe to the channel. We don't ever ask for that, but it really does help. You guys have been doing a great job with liking the show and stuff. There's always a million likes, but we definitely appreciate it. Thank you guys for watching and continue to come back, helping us to grow the show. But I've been told that we need to ask for likes and subscribes.
Some backs that have moved down the last 2 weeks, two in the same backfield, Cleveland. Jerome Ford moved down from 159 to 200. He dropped 41 spots. That was the biggest drop. And Dylan Sampson, who's now a rookie in the Cleveland backfield, drops from 148 to 179. He drops 31 spots, and that can easily be correlated to the fact that the Cleveland Browns expended a early pick, the fourth overall pick in the second round, on running back Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. He actually dropped three spots in ADP overall. He's now running back 23. You think that order is right? Judkins is 71st overall. Sampson's 179, and Ford is now 200.
Positionally, what is Sampson now?
53.
Ooh, okay. So I even though I still like Sampson to some degree, I got to make an update on him because I. But here's the.
I think that's a value now. I think you have to be.
I'm interested in the SEC's leading rusher from last season. Do people forget that Dylan Sampson's actually good? I know that Quinshon's good. But it isn't like we're talking about one guy from the AAC and one guy from the Big Ten. We're talking about one dude from the Big Ten, one dude. We're talking about the big dog from the Big Ten and the big dog from the SEC.
Exactly.
If you were just to ask me, it's like just a one box. It's like, here's the big dog from the SEC. Here's the big dog from the Big Ten. You don't know who is going to burst out of there. I'll tell him every time. Give me the one from the SEC.
Yeah.
But I mean, I understand the situation stinks, but why is it so much? Is it just because of the draft capital?
Look at the four names behind him, dude. On the cheat sheet. Look at the four names below him.
I don't want any of those guys.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
Guys like Tank Bigsby and Rico Dowdle and like Rashad White and Charbonnet. It's like give me the devil I don't know over the devil I know and who stinks.
On a team that doesn't even know what their quarterback is right now, has a very, very, very limited receiving core.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Who's their third wide? Is their third wide receiver Jamari Thrash?
Yeah.
Maybe Deontay Johnson. In Cleveland, it's very bad. Like this is gonna be a dynamic like rookie rushing duo. Now Jerome Ford is the biggest faller, and that's the reason why he gets completely swindled here. I have no interest in Jerome Ford at this point anyway.
The Quinshon side of things, we're still in a good place on. He's 71 overall, running back 23. Do you have any different? I mean, he hasn't moved much.
I'm not going to move Quinshon.
In reaction, we're still ahead on Quinshon. We still like Quinshon. He's still going to be the lion's share of this backfield. You believe?
I think Quinshon Judkins is fine up to like running back 18 to 20 ish.
That's fair. I think. Yeah.
I don't know exactly who's ahead of. I can pull up the ADPs. I just have my sheet here. But I think he's fine up to – yeah, he's fine up into this kind of – God, look at R.J. Harvey. My goodness. That. Jeez, is he on the list to talk about? That's not. That starts to present.
I think he just missed it. I think he's at – now he's at 19.9. So technically, I mean, among the top 100 movers, he went from 74 to 54.5. Technically, it's 19.9. So he missed the threshold but yeah, he's at a big move as well.
I mean, but it's a move at the very RJ Harvey is a move at a higher. It's not like he goes from 170 up to like, you know, 120 where it's 50. It's like, it's only 20, but it's a much more valuable 20.
Yep.
Right.
Technically we're behind on Harvey now.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that I want to be behind on it.
You see some of the clips from him coming out of camp yesterday or the last couple of days?
Yeah, I haven't watched any like the longer form videos, but I've seen some of the clips. Yeah,
some of the pictures of the quads that we already knew. And
it's
some
just
of the
people are just now seeing. We've been saying it the whole time. It's like you can't believe the guy's quads. It's just so crazy. So I see this this tweet here. I don't know who this guy is. Apologies for it. But his name is Garrett Price, and he's on X. And he had this interesting tweet, and I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, "The thing that makes me nervous about RJ Harvey isn't his age. It's how much his ADP has risen post-NFL draft. I do agree that second round of Denver is fantastic, blah, blah, blah." He says, since 2019, running backs that were drafted five spots higher in post-draft ADP versus pre-draft, and he's talking about dynasty rookie drafts, hit 13.3% of the time, or 2 out of 15. Here's the list of guys that went top 36 post-draft that rose 5-plus spots. You ready for this list?
Yeah.
So these are guys who got good land. So Jaden Blue falls into this category. And RJ Harvey falls into this category. And I don't think Caleb Johnson does, even though we love his landing spot. I think that the two sort of pictures of this very thing happening this year would be Jaden Blue and RJ Harvey. Okay. Here they are, the guys that got bumped up due to landing spot. Alexander Mattison, Kamani Vidal, Darwin Thompson, Tyrion Davis Price, Tyrone Tracy Jr., Damian Pierce, James Cook, Hassan Haskins, Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Keyshawn Vaughn, Ramondre Stevenson, Kendre Miller, and Joshua Kelly. So I think that's more than two guys that kind of hit. Tyrone Tracy basically hit. James Cook has been a good enough hit. And Ramondre Stevenson, I think you consider him a hit from where he was being taken. It's three. Still not great. 20%. I'm not sure it's that tell. Like, I don't care what this guy said. Like, I think RJ Harvey's a better player. But just a little word of caution. I mean, I think it was a good point. I saw it on my X feed. Thought it was a good point if we're talking about ADP risers and what it means and if you're still in on it.
If not RJ Harvey, what value is in Denver right now? Because Audric Estime, Jaleel McLaughlin, Beatty, Blake Watson, like they've all been put in the same bucket.
Is RJ Harvey going? Is RJ Harvey going ahead of Caleb Johnson?
I think Caleb's at running back 25-75 overall. Yeah, he's like 25 spots ahead of him, which I think's bad. Caleb didn't move. How does Caleb not move?
I don't know.
Because he literally, to me, I mean, I've taken him. I've reached on Caleb Johnson in my rookie drafts.
Yeah, but I just think we have him back to back here. What we need to do is just get RJ Harvey. We need to flip RJ Harvey and Caleb Johnson. I was anticipating that Caleb Johnson was going to take the big step because people were, I guess maybe since the combine had been a little bit negative sentiment on him because he had the slower 40. But as far as everybody's prospect grades, and here's the thing, I don't take in or listen to fantasy content as much as I just do NFL content. Yeah. And I think there's been a disconnect from what the NFL people are saying about Caleb versus what the fantasy people are saying about him. Right?
Yeah.
I've been under the impression that everybody's kind of like the NFL saying like, dude, this is such a good fit for Caleb. Caleb, Caleb, Caleb. He's going to get volume there with Tomlin. Like, but all the fantasy hype and all the juice, it feels like, has gotten more behind RJ Harvey.
Which is a flip because I feel like before the draft, it was a lot of Caleb.
But RJ Harvey's RB21 right now. So, gosh. So that would mean, is he going ahead of James Conner and David Montgomery and stuff?
Let me look here.
I can pull. Yeah. Caleb, no, he's squeezed right between those two.
Yeah. Yep. Caleb's 25th. Montgomery's 24. Quinshon's 23. Connor's 22. Henderson's 20.
Ken Harvey's ahead of Quinshon. My gosh. Okay.
He's ahead of Travion, too. Harvey's technically, what, RB3 among rookies in the seasonal stuff?
Man, okay. So, this part of the sheet needs more cleaning up than I had thought. But I have awaited this tier that has, like, Ken Walker and Quinshon and Kamara and Montgomery, Connor, RJ Harvey, and Caleb Johnson. That is how we had the tier pre-NFL draft. And that's what the tier has become.
Yep.
Just goes to show you. Listen to your boys at Roster Watch. What do you make about the Commanders guys? Because you saw Ja'Cory. I've been looking into Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, and I want to hear what you think about him from seeing him at the Shrine Bowl and stuff. I know he was the Shrine Bowl game MVP, and he looked good in that. But do you remember? I
thought he was the best back at the Shrine Bowl.
Okay, was there something else that you wanted to get off before we move to a new subject?
Well, I was like about the Denver situation. Like, if like there are things that point to RJ Harvey potentially not being him. And I just wonder now that he's officially, like, he's really getting up into this conversation, like, the guy behind him, we assume right now, was Estime or McLaughlin. Neither of these guys are getting, you know, they're literally 214 and 212.
And hold on. Right, we're getting signs that RJ Harvey might not be him.
What? I know. I'm saying, like, he's now in the category, like we just talked about. He's in the Trayvon Henderson conversation. He's in the top dog conversation.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right.
And I'm just saying, there are things out there, like you said, with the Garrett Price thing. There's also a thing out there about age 23 running backs. I can't find it now, but I talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show. There's, like, certain things that, like, they're not factual anythings, but they're just
trends,
historical trends that would point to maybe not. And he's also 205 pounds and 5'8". Like, he's not exactly – he's not the most perfect profile in the world. Now, we know Sean Payton loves him. He's going to get the opportunities, but –
And we love him.
Are we to expect Harvey's going to get 300 touches? No. So, is there value, is my question, is there value in a Jaleel McLaughlin who is sitting at 212 right now? Or is there value in an Audric Estime who's sitting at 215 right now? Because Jaleel McLaughlin a year ago had 27 targets, 24 receptions last year, 2 receiving touchdowns, 31 receptions, 160, 2 touchdowns the year before that. He had 500 yards on the ground last year. Is there anything that interests you in either of those guys? Or did you just say, if Harvey's in zero, I just want to stay away?
Very, very little, because Sean Payton has already told us that those are all the same guy. He wanted to go get somebody that was separate from that one bucket he had all those idiots in.
So you basically think that, okay, so that's good.
It will go back to being worthless again.
Okay. It'd just be extreme.
Harvey's a dud. He just joins the rest of the duds.
All right. Deal.
The thing about, I just wanted to ask you about Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, because I was watching him and watching some of his stuff. They went to their mini camp over the weekend for the Commanders, and hadn't done as much work on him. I realized why I hadn't done as much work on him. So he was at Arizona, but he only played in one game. And then Arizona had to be – so he was – first he was at Alabama State. He was there for 2 seasons, transferred to New Mexico, which I believe was in Diego Pavia's last season there, before he transferred into Vanderbilt and the world came to know the GOAT that is Diego Pavia. But the New Mexico, two seasons, or was it 3 at Alabama State, 1 at New Mexico, and then one at Arizona. But what happened was he redshirted his first year at Alabama State, but then somebody tattled on him. Apparently, I think he played in more than 4 games.
He switched jerseys.
So that's what happened.
Yeah. He got tattled on because he switched jerseys and tried to, like, play in one game, keep his red shirt.
I didn't. I've heard he got tattled on. I wasn't sure. I just thought somebody was just being petty. Like he actually did.
Right, yeah. I think that was what I read a couple of months ago, that he was trying to, like,
skirt the old rule. He played
week 1 for Arizona this year, and then he was ruled in, or they, you know, didn't clear his waiver.
Yeah, and so I just remember when I was – I wasn't aware of this during the scouting time. And so when I went to go watch him, I was looking through the Arizona stuff. I'm like, I can't even find this guy. So, like, I didn't do much work on him at all. But I went and watched some of the New Mexico stuff from 2023. And, dude, he's actually good. He's actually, like – and I know it's New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
What is that, Mountain West? I don't even know what they are. These.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's like – Plains, big sky, maybe
something. Yeah, but I'm just like, dude, this is a guy who can create. And when I think about the Commanders, I understand. Okay, so they're actually now with Jaden Daniels, they're actually kind of now in a. There's no other way. They're in a. They're opening up a sort of a championship window. They just are. They were right on the doorstep last year. They got a good young quarterback. They can build around him on a rookie deal, all the rest of that stuff. And there's part of me that says there's no way that Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, who, by the way, he asked people to call him Bill. which is an interesting name.
What?
Yeah.
Where'd you read this at?
The Commanders, people all call him Bill Krosky Merritt.
Bill Krosky Merritt?
Yeah, Bill. he says he's been called Bill ever since he was a tiny kid. And he prefers it. So, excuse me, man. I got something caught in my throat. I was just like, man, this dude, Bill, this dude can move. And I wonder if in the championship window, they're going to trust this guy as much as they would trust some veterans like Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler and all this stuff like that. But I went and looked. It's like he's never been a big fumbler. PFF has him for really good or not really good, but above average pass pro rating, but for whatever you can count that as. And I just looked at Brian Robinson and over on Fantasy Points. They have this thing called stuff rate, which is runs less than 4 yards on first down and less than 3 yards on all other downs. And if you're above 50% stuff rate in that metric that they have, you're dusty, dude. You're a total dust ball, right? And he's one of them. He's right there on the list. The other guys are dudes who you can just picture them getting stuffed. At the very top of the list is Zamir White, right? But then he was stuffed on like 87% of runs or something like that.
Rip.
But it's guys like Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon, Gus Edwards, all guys who got running backs drafted to replace them this year. Brian Robinson, Najee Harris, Gus Edwards, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Nick Chubb, Cam Akers, Jalen Wright, Raheem Mostert, Kenneth Gainwell. That's not a good list to be on, right? If you look at their forced missed tackles per attempt last year, Brian Robinson was RB63 in fantasy and forced missed tackles per attempt. Eckler was RB88. These guys can't create. And Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt in college in New Mexico, so PFF had him top 25. He was actually tied with Bucky Irving in yards after contact per attempt. He had the 7th most designed runs in all of college football of over 15 yards. He was RB12 in touches for first downs, again, creating RB18 in the PFF elusive rating, and all this is out of 265 qualifiers. And one thing I noticed is that PFF elusive rating, do you know who was rated 255 in 2023 that was drafted by the Rams?
Really?
Yeah.
255
out of 265 quorum. That was interesting to me. But anyway, and you say, and you look at again, I think that they need a runner who can create. Just watch Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt at New Mexico. That's the definition of a dude who was able to create. Again, I know it's New Mexico, but he's got more juice. I was looking at player profiler, 95th percentile burst score player profiler. Brian Robinson had a 15th percentile burst score whenever he was coming out. More juice, more ability to create. I'm not buying any of this stuff about this big upward movement, this big ADP shift from guys like Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler when they have this dude, Bill, coming in and nipping at their heels.